When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Forever Dog. You can listen to this podcast ad-free on Forever Dog Plus by signing up at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And make sure to follow us on social at Forever Dog Team and check out all of our podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Public Domain Theater with Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, and guest Brandy Posey. Reading this week, My Wife's Tempter by Fitz James O'Brien.
Welcome to Public Domain Theater, the podcast of highbrow readings and lowbrow commentary. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent. And today we are joined by a very special guest. You may know her from the Lady to Lady podcast, from Comedy Central, from Picture This in Los Angeles. We have comedian, stand-up podcaster Brandy Posey here.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming and reading a story with us.
I love it. I love to read. I love podcasting. You guys are hitting my sweet Venn diagram spot.
Great.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, right in the center.
So this leads right into our question about, like, what are the types of things you like reading?
Well, I like reading mostly memoir.
Interesting.
And biography and autobiography and everything like that. I have a thing called aphantasia where, like, I basically, my mind's eye is blind. So, like, it's really hard for me to visualize stuff. So I don't like reading fiction.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah. I met someone like that in law school. And I remember he was like, I could never put a pinpoint on what that was until I heard about it. But like all throughout school, it was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I found out about it like a year or two ago because I did I'm a touring stand-up comedian, and a comedian in central Pennsylvania named Jeff Kunkel had a joke about having aphantasia. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Oh my God.
And then I have never heard of that.
Yeah, it's a thing that only affects like 0.2% of the population or something like that. And it's basically like your brain works in like it's like having your brain is still a computer, but just the monitor doesn't turn on. So like I still have all of the information. I know who people are and everything, but it's hard for me to like pull or visualize stuff. So
do you have any kind of face blindness? Like do I have trouble remembering?
It's hard for me to place faces where I'll be like, I know your face. I don't know why I know your face.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to put it in the context a lot of the time.
Oftentimes if I don't have their first and last name connected to their face, then I have a lot of trouble realizing that I know a person.
Yeah, for sure.
Mine is a little different in that the second someone tells me their name, I forget it.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
That happens to me too.
But I think that's everyone. I think we just put too much pressure on people to like know everyone's names immediately.
Mm-hmm. The social contract should be that you just always use your name when you see somebody. Just be like, hey, I'm Brandy, how you doing?
Yeah.
Like, always throw it out there. I'd never take it personally. People forget mine. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
billions of people.
There are people that get very offended.
Oh, yeah.
Intensely. For sure. Especially, like, it's one thing when, like, I met a guy, or I'm sorry, a girl, who I think we had met maybe 8 or 9 times, and it was like we went on trips together.
Oh, yeah.
I've
had that.
Like, where it was, like, many times. Like, we had in-depth conversations, had spent multiple days at a time. And then, like, we were hanging out at a barbecue. And she's like, hey, I'm so-and-so. And I was like, oh, we've met 8 times.
Yeah.
But other than that, I feel like if it's just, like, I met you once. And it's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't remember your name. And they're like, what?
Yeah. If you've shared a moment, then, like, all right. You might not be able to pull the specific name, but, like, recognize something about, like, I do a lot of, like, I will fake it until I get the clues to tell me who you are. Like,
me too.
I'm very good at playing that game of just, or you do the introduction thing to somebody else.
Yes, fantastic. Or just being honest and being like, you know what, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I totally forgot your name, but I know we've met. Can you remind me? Because, after you meet someone, if you, later in the night, you're like, oh, you know what, I forgot your name. Can you remind me again?
Yeah.
People usually aren't offended unless they're like intense people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had the really weird experience for a short period of time where my friend Renee, who I just knew from around UCB, but I was convinced that he wouldn't know who I was. But I also, I like very much knew who he was, but also had a bad memory. So every time I saw him, like five times maybe, I would go, "Hi, Renee. I don't know if you know me. I'm Lindsay." And finally he went, "Yeah, you've done this five times.
God.
And I was like, how do I remember who you are, but I don't remember that I keep doing this? It's because
you get so panicked that you like, this. I feel like it's what my dad does. It's like you get so panicked that you black out and like leave your body. Yeah. And you're like, I don't know if you know me. I'm Lindsay.
I want to save you the embarrassment. So I will take it on myself.
That insecure that I was like, surely he doesn't remember me.
Yeah, exactly.
We've merely met five or six times.
No memory of doing that. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
So today we're reading a story called My Wife's Tempter by Fitz James O'Brien. Do we know anything about Mr. Fitz James O'Brien?
I know that he is extremely Irish.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think hardcore Irish.
He probably wears like seven Clotas and
and like 12 promise rings.
And has like Celtic knots tattooed like all over his one part of his body.
Oh wait, is the Clotta the promise ring?
Yeah, it is.
I thought the Celtic cross was that for a second.
Oh no, the Clotta is. Yeah,
I realized after the fact that I like said the same thing.
I like to think he's a sentient Guinness. That's just a beer with like two little arms.
He's like,
just
I'm like
dark
warm
and rich and frothy.
You wouldn't think it tastes good, but it does here.
not so much elsewhere.
No, not elsewhere. It's only when you're surrounded by beautiful, verdant, rolling hills.
Yeah.
And everybody is so friendly. Okay, so what year do we think he was born?
Oh, crap.
Fitz James? That
Fitz
feels.
Fitz James.
It's James O'Brien.
I'm gonna call it at 1937.
Nice.
I'm gonna say 1803.
Okay, both incorrect.
What?
You got two out of the four numbers right. You got one out of the four numbers.
Okay.
She only gets at least two. She's pretty good at this.
Okay.
I don't think that's good.
1826. Here's the thing. You know.
I know this century. Okay, I know this century.
Millennia. You know, it's not in like
it's AD not in the Jurassic
235.
Period.
Yeah. We're reading it from like papyrus.
1826.
He died. We got another mirror. 1862.
Oh.
Wow. It's the little things in life that you should find mystery in.
So that's 30 something then. No, am I wrong?
30.
Because 40 would be 66.
34?
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, Fitz James.
Poor soul.
How are you going to write anything? You barely live, dude.
Yeah. This is the only thing he wrote, and he was 12.
Exactly.
Wait, let's see how old he was.
My wife.
1858. So he
four
was
years before he died.
He was born Michael O'Brien in Cork, Ireland.
He was like, gotta get more Irish.
Yeah, he's like, Michael, boring, Fitz James. He went to the University of Dublin. God, he's so Irish.
We get it.
He was a soldier in the British Army at one time. Less Irish.
Less Irish.
After he left college, he went to London. What? In the course of 4 years, he spent his entire inheritance of £8,000, which is about $250,000.
Oh, so he's a trustee. I see.
Trust boy.
Yes.
Straight into not a trustee.
Oh, yeah. And then
my name's Fitz James, and I have 8,000 whatever the fuck's those were.
Somebody he went to high school with is like, yeah, your name's Michael.
Yeah.
Well, around 1852, he's like, I gotta go. Goes to U.S. And he changes his name to Fitz James. And then he's like, I'm going to write literature. So then the Civil War starts. He joins the 7th Regiment of the New York National Guard, hoping to be sent to the front. He was stationed at Camp Cameron outside Washington, D.C. for 6 weeks. When his regiment returns to New York, he gets an appointment on the staff of General Frederick W. Lander. He's severely wounded in a skirmish. Lingered until April, where he died of tetanus at Cumberland, Maryland. Oh. That was it.
Oh, man. Oh, he died in the Civil War fighting on the Union side.
I know.
Yeah. Should have stayed in Ireland.
Yeah, he should have just stayed in Ireland. Yeah.
Don't help us.
Don't help us. Before his death, he published many stories in the New York Times, Harper's, Vanity Fair, and the Atlantic Monthly that have since become notable for their novelty and experimentation with genre.
Oh.
The diamond lens tells the story of a scientist who invents a powerful microscope and discovers a beautiful woman inside a drop of water.
Okay, Fitzjames. All right.
Wow, that's some real early fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's one of H.P. Lovecraft's favorite stories. It's considered one of the earliest examples of science fiction in American literature.
There you go.
The Wondersmith is an early predecessor of Robot Rebellion narratives. Interesting. In which toys are possessed by evil spirits. Oh, I'm sorry. Toys possessed by evil spirits are transformed into living automatons. But it's automata.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's multiple. The plural.
Okay. Automata. Who turn against their creators. And then,
did this guy invent science fiction?
I think maybe. His 1858 short story, From Hand to Mouth, has been referred to as the single most striking example of surrealistic fiction to predate Alice in Wonderland. And what was it, a mystery, is one of the earliest known examples of invisibility in fiction.
Why haven't we heard of this poor sap?
Yeah.
I have no idea, but this last line is very, like, I picture Brett is, like, sitting in, like, a big overstuffed chair by a fire
in Masterpiece Theater.
Yeah, he's like holding a skull. The story that you're about to read, My Wife's Tempter, is much more conventional on the surface, but does it hide a bizarre secret?
Oh, just petting the skull.
What are you trying to angle a host spot when we get a TV show? What are you, Alfred Hitchcock?
He's like, oh, hello.
Rod Serling over there?
I was merely stirring my cereal.
My cereal.
I love it. This is great. I think if his name hadn't sounded like such a stereotype Irish, like it sounds like you are calling somebody a derogatory Irish phrase.
I know.
Hey, yeah. Fitzjames O'Brien. You're a real Fitzjames O'Brien. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
That's
what it feels like.
It totally feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Fitzjames.
Yeah.
Man.
R.I.P.
What a creative soul.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see this.
That's exciting.
All right. My Wife's Tempter by Fitzjames O'Brien. 1. A predestined marriage. Elsie and I were to be married in less than a week. It was rather a strange match, and I knew that some of our neighbors shook their heads over it and said that no good would come. The way it came to pass was thus. I loved Elsie Burns for 2 years, during which time she refused me 3 times.
Mm.
Okay, well then at that point you gotta just stop.
Yeah, but it was the 1800s.
Yeah,
there are only like, so many matches
Let's
about.
Just wear her down until she says yes, and that's true love. Yeah.
That's permissible before 1920.
Just keep showing up at her home at various hours of the night. I could no more help asking her to have me when the chance offered than I could help breathing or living. To love her seemed natural to me as existence. I felt no shame, only sorrow when she rejected me. I felt no shame either when I renewed my suit. The neighbors called me mean-spirited to take up with any girl that had refused me as often as Elsie Burns had done. Everyone's like, yo, stop.
Yeah. Slow your roll.
If people in the fucking 1800s are like,
maybe don't.
Stop.
Yeah.
You're like so embarrassing. You need to stop. But what did I care about the neighbors? If it's black weather and the sun is under a cloud every day for a month, is that any reason why the poor farmer should not hope for the blue sky and the plentiful burst of warm light when the dark month is over? You know that he probably said that to them every time someone's like, dude, maybe you should like calm down.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, listen to me talk about the sun and the farmer.
Yeah, just because it's cloudy.
Women are fields to me. That's what they are. A sentient field. Mm-hmm. That's all
want
woman
to
is.
Harvest her bountiful crop.
Uh-huh.
What's wrong with them? I never entirely lost heart. Do not, however, mistake me. I did not mope and moan and grow pale after the manner of poetical lovers. No such thing. I went bravely about my business, ate and drank as usual, laughed when the laugh went round.
This guy's a robot. He's also a psychopath because he's just like, oh no, everyone's laughing right now. I should laugh and I should make sure that I'm eating and drinking. Just the things that you would do to be alive.
He's like, what do people
do? I remained a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And slept soundly and woke refreshed. Yet all this time I loved, desperately loved Elsie Burns. I went wherever I hoped to meet her, but did not haunt her with my attentions.
That's what you think.
That's what you think. She's like, he's haunting me.
Yeah, I feel very haunted right now.
I merely stalked. I did not haunt, I stalked.
Yes.
Thank you, there is a difference.
Stalkings during the day, hauntings at night.
Hauntings when you're in her room, stalkings when you go wherever she is.
I'm not spooky, what's the problem?
You're from
pulling
Kelly.
Some faces.
Yeah.
Kelly has some famous faces.
Oh. I behaved to her as any friendly young man would have behaved. I met her and parted from her cheerfully. She was a good girl, too, and behaved well. She had me in her power. How a woman in Elsie's situation could have mortified a man in mine. But she never took the slightest advantage of it. She danced with me when I asked her, had no foolish fears of allowing me to see her home of nights after a ball was over, or of wandering with me through the pleasant New England fields when the wildflowers made the paths like roads in fairyland.
Okay, it sounds like they're dating and she's just not saying yes to marriage yet.
Or she just doesn't want to get murdered. So she's like, sure, I'll do the bare minimum of the things that you're asking for. So I'm not killed by you.
Every time she just like leaves a little note and it's like, I'm going out in the fields with this fucking guy.
Same as a text.
Please, like, just if I'm not back in like an hour, call the constable.
Yes, exactly.
Constabulary.
I'm afraid of becoming haunted because I will be a ghost.
He wants me to haunt with him. On the several disastrous occasions when I presented my suit, I did it simply and manfully, telling her I loved her very much and would do everything I could to make her happy if she would be my wife.
This guy is working too hard to let us know that he never raped her.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Too hard.
Yeah. I made no fulsome protestations, did not once allude to suicide.
Please do for that. Write a BuzzFeed article about me.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
She, on the other hand, calmly and gravely thanked me for my good opinion, but with the same calm gravity, rejected me. I used to tell her that I was grieved, that I would not press her, that I would wait and hope for some change in her feelings. She had an esteem for me, she would say, but could not marry me.
Are you sure this guy didn't invent the gaslight? Oh. Kind of feels like
oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Well, he never, like, was trying to, like, trick her or make, like, make her think, like slip a ring on her finger and go, that We've ring's always been on that finger. I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy, woman.
Well, it's like he was just like, I never pushed her too hard, but you showed up literally every day.
Every day and, like, stalked her.
I'm totally fine. Everything's cool. This is just how you act with somebody. It's cool. Yeah. No, I'm just here constantly. It's
constantly.
Fine.
Oh, my God. You're in your house? Me too. I never asked her for any reasons. I hold it to be an insult to a woman of sense to demand her reasons on such an occasion. Enough for me that she did not then wish to be my wife. So that the old intercourse went on, she, cordial and polite as ever, I never for one moment doubting that the day would come when my roof tree would shelter her.
Roof tree.
And we would smile together over our fireside.
I lived under a tree. Why didn't she want to marry me?
And we would smile together over our fireside at our long and indefatigable wooing. I will confess that at times I felt a little jealous. Jealous of a man named Haymond Brake, who lived in our village.
Who wouldn't be with a name like Haymond Brake?
He was a weird, saturnine fellow who made no friends among the young men of the neighborhood, but who loved to go alone with his books and his own thoughts for company.
Ew, gross.
What is he thinking?
What a freak.
He was a studious. And I believe, he was a studious and I believe a learned young man. There was no avoiding the fact that he possessed considerable influence over Elsie. She liked to talk with him in corners or in secluded nooks of the forest when we all went out blackberry gathering or picnicking.
Oh, sometimes they would sneak into little holes in the ground. At others, there'd be a crack in the floor and you could see them peeking out of it.
One time I found them in my pocket.
One time I was disguised as a blackberry bush. And they stood next to me and talked about books they had both read together. I shook the blackberries from my branches.
One time I mistook them for squirrels.
Yeah. I feel like he's probably like, hey, you want to like go blackberry picking? And then like Hammond's like, oh, I'll go. And he's like, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, Elsie's just like, can you please come with us? He's really creeping me out.
He's the one she leaves the letters for. Yeah. She's like, we're going blackberry picking. You better show up.
Yeah.
She read books that he gave her. And whenever a discussion arose relative to any topic higher than those ordinary ones we usually canvassed, Elsie appealed to Brake for his opinion as a disciple consulting a beloved master. I mean, that is kind of ugh.
Every time I tried to talk about how cornmeal feels in your mouth, she tried to change the subject to politics.
I confess that for a time, I feared this man as a rival. A little closer observation, however, convinced me that my suspicions were unfounded. The relations between Elsie and Hammond Brake were purely intellectual.
Duh, he gay.
Probably. She reverenced his talents and acquirements, but she didn't love him. His influence over her, nevertheless, was nonetheless decided. In time, as I thought all along, Elsie yielded. I was what was considered a most eligible match, being tolerably rich, and Elsie's parents were the most anxious to have me for a son-in-law.
Also, she seemed to be pregnant.
Oh, dang. I was good-looking and well-educated enough, and the old people, I believe, pertinaciously dinned all my advantages into my little girl's ears. Don't call her that.
This is how he talks to Elsie.
Yeah.
No fucking wonder she doesn't want to marry him. All he talks about is himself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He is obsessed with himself.
Yeah.
And you just picture her being like, wow.
Cool. Just going to take a real long sip here.
Tell me more about how attractive you are. Mm-hmm.
She battled against the marriage for a long time a strange persistence. All the more strange because she never alleged the slightest personal dislike to me. But after a vigorous cannonading from her own garrison, in which I am proud to say I did not in any way join, she hoisted the white flag and surrendered.
Oh, my.
Hooray.
God.
That's how you want every relationship to start.
I was very happy. Upset. I had no fear about being able to gain Elsie's heart. I think, indeed I know, that she liked me all along and that her refusals were dictated by other feelings than those of a personal nature.
Oh my God, he's the cousin in Pride and Prejudice. He's the cousin who has his own, whatchamacallit, he's like a minister and he has the patronage of Lady Catherine de Bourgh. Anybody?
Pride and Prejudice? I haven't read Pride and Prejudice, but Brett is nodding.
Okay, thanks Brett.
Is this Colin Firth or is this the other one? What does it, Hugh Grant?
Neither, right? The cousin is separate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, this is why can't I remember his name? Oh, well. He's a little wiener.
Fair. I mean, this guy's a wiener.
Yeah.
I only guessed as much then. It was sometime before I knew all. As the day approached for our wedding, Elsie did not appear at all stricken with woe. The village gossips had not the smallest opportunity for establishing a romance.
She wasn't outright crying, so clearly she wanted to marry me.
With a compulsory bride for the heroine. Yet it seemed to me as if there was something strange about her. A vague terror appeared to beset her.
Oh my God!
Just a vague terror.
A vague sense of just like fear for her well-being to consume her features.
Just like this ominous cloud seems to surround her.
Just a frenzied malaise just settled upon the entire household.
Yeah, I would just like lay a gentle hand upon her shoulder and she would flinch as though attacked.
Even in her most loving moments when resting in my arms, she would shrink away from me and shudder as if some cold wind had suddenly struck upon her.
God, she is disgusted by him.
That it was caused by no aversion to me was evident.
In what way, sir?
Tell me more.
Please tell me in what way.
She would, the moment after, as if to make amends, give me one of those voluntary kisses that are sweeter than all others.
God. Oh, yeah. You know those voluntary ones. They're just like, don't murder me.
If I do this, maybe I buy myself another week.
The best marriages start with placation and surrender. Yes, it feels
indeed,
great.
Indeed. And when you just like offer your dead lip.
Mm-hmm.
Limp lips to a man.
Absolutely.
That indicates that you're not fearful.
Mm-hmm.
Only once did she show any emotion. When the solemn question was put to her, the answer to which was to decide her destiny, I felt her hand, which was in mine, tremble. As she gasped out a convulsive yes, she gave one brief imploring glance at the gallery on the right.
Oh my God. She's like, please save me from this shit.
I am really glad that as we've gone on, it's very clear that good old Fitz James hates this guy.
Oh, yes. I know. He's, At first, I was like, what's going on here?
I was very fearful.
Yeah.
But he does not seem to enjoy this man.
Oh, no. Like, this is like, yo, this dude's embarrassing. He knows this guy in real life. He's like, this fucking guy.
He hates this guy.
Really embarrassing.
I placed the ring upon her finger and looked in the direction in which she gazed. Hammond Brake's dark countenance was visible.
He's Hammond. He's fucking Hammond.
Huh?
Our writer is like, I have this great connection.
I see, I see.
With this girl.
I thought you meant that Hammond Brake was a... was the split personality?
Oh, shit.
Of the
we got
guy
Tyler
talking.
Durden. Tyler Durden.
Oh, fuck.
There's mayonnaise in his fridge.
No, I think our writer's like, she had this connection to this like intellectual guy who was really into reading.
Mm-hmm. And like, let's just say, for the sake of painting some color in the scene, he was Irish.
Yeah.
Hammond Brake's dark countenance was visible looking over the railings, and his eyes were bent sternly on Elsie. I turned quickly around to my bride, but her brief emotion of whatever nature had vanished. She was looking at me anxiously and smiling, somewhat sadly.
Oh my God.
Through her maiden's tears.
Oh my God.
Just the classic story of a proposal, the way that you want to tell it to generations after you.
Yeah. You know, like she was really quiet for a while, like looked around for help. Then she like whispers yes, and then she cries like, so sadly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it feels great.
The months went by quickly, and we were very happy. I learned that Elsie really loved me, and of my love for her, she had proof long ago. I will not say that there was no cloud upon our little horizon. There was one, but it was so small and appeared so seldom.
Oh, you are so fake.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. Not worried at all. That I scarcely feared it. The old vague terror seemed still to attack my life.
Oh my God.
It was like, it was so weird, but it was like nothing. It was like tiny blip.
Vague terror.
If I did not know her to be as pure as heaven snow, I would have said it was a remorse.
Oh.
All caps.
It was.
Yeah, just a little bit.
It was.
At times, she scarcely appeared to hear what I said. So deep would be her reverie. Nor did those moods seem pleasant ones. When wrapped in such, her sweet features would contract as if in a hopeless effort to solve some mysterious problem.
How do I get out of this marriage?
A sad pain, as it were, quivered in her white, drooped eyelids. One thing I particularly remarked.
She spent hours at a time gazing at the west. Oh, shit. She's like, Hammond,
are you in the West? Are you in the West? Hammond. Are you in the West?
Hammond, break me out of this.
There was a small room in our house whose windows every evening flamed with the red light of the setting sun. Here Elsie would sit and gaze westward, so motionless and entranced that it seemed as if her soul was going down with the day.
Oh, God. Okay.
My future bride.
This guy is so, so painfully aware and yet so painfully in denial.
He's so, yeah. It's
he
so...
is tramping everything down into a little ball in his center until he's like, I barely think about it.
Yeah.
Her conduct to me was curiously varied. She apparently loved me very much, yet there were times when she absolutely avoided me. I have seen her strolling through the fields and left the house with the intention of joining her, but the moment she caught sight of me approaching, she has fled into the neighboring copse.
She's literally running away from
running. With so evident a wish to avoid me, it would have been absolutely cruel to follow. Once or twice, the old jealousy of Hammond Brake crossed my mind, but I was obliged to dismiss it as a frivolous suspicion. Nothing in my wife's conduct justified any such theory. Brake visited us once or twice a week.
Oh, dang. Okay, this guy. He also had a little apartment that we had kept for him. Just like, right. It was unrelated.
Sometimes he would sleep in the bed instead of me, and I would sleep under the bed. But yeah. It was just good friendship.
He called her wife as well, but yeah, that's fine. You know, it's fine. Just a nickname.
You know what? More and more, I was like, did she actually say yes to him, and I've just been still stalking her?
Am I a painting on their wall?
Am I, in fact, a ghost, and I am haunting her?
Oh, my God, he's a fucking ghost.
In fact, when I returned from my business in the village, I used to find him seated in the parlor with Elsie, reading some favorite author or conversing on some novel literary topic. But there was no disposition to avoid my scrutiny. Breaks seemed to come as a matter of right, and the perfect unconsciousness of furnishing any grounds for suspicion with which he acted was a sufficient answer to my mind for any wild doubts that my heart may have suggested. Still, I could not but remark
that
Brake's visits were in some manner connected with Elsie's melancholy. On the days when he appeared and departed, the gloom seemed to hang more thickly than ever over her head. She sat on such occasions all the evening at the western window, silently gazing at the cleft in the hill through which the sun passed to his repose. I don't get it. It's like, surely these things aren't connected, yet they happen at the same time all the time.
I just like the idea of him just having a wall with just a bunch of string, but he's too stupid to connect the dots. Yeah. I'll just knit a scarf with all of this red string instead.
I've got all the photos up of suspects. I have the push pins in. What do I do with the string?
I'm just using it like a cat. Just making, okay. Well,
that's great.
Does anyone want to play? Cat's great.
Not you, Elsie? Okay.
Okay, that's fine.
Oh, you're with fine. Hammond. Oh, okay.
Okay, he's literally inside you right now? Okay. At last, I made up my mind to speak to her. It seemed to be my duty, if she had a sorrow, to partake of it. I approached her on the matter with the most perfect confidence that I had nothing to learn beyond the existence of some girlish grief, which a confession and a few loving kisses would exercise forever.
The lady doth protest
forever.
Too much. You're so fucking stupid.
Can you imagine just living life with that level of just... The clouds than you live with when you live. It's
you
amazing.
Would be my parents.
Like, oh, wow. What's I'm not suspicious of anything ever. What?
I see everything. I take it all in, and yet it's fine.
We're happy.
Okay. Nothing misses, and yet everything does. Elsie, I said to her one night as she sat, according to her custom, gazing westward, like those maidens of the old ballads of chivalry, watching for the knights that never came.
Okay.
Knights as in, like, K-N-I-G-H-T.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You are. There's no way he's this stupid. There's no way.
He's so fucking stupid. Yeah.
I feel like this is going to be, the reveal at the end is going to be him sitting across from two police officers covered in blood.
Oh, yeah.
Just being like, I just didn't know. And then I'm so innocent. At every step of the way, I know that I'm covered in her blood. But I tripped.
I happen to be holding a knife, but surely it's unconnected with my uncontrollable rage.
Yeah. Hammond's head... is in my other hand.
Yeah.
But they're not connected. Yeah.
No.
I don't know how this got here.
It's crazy.
Look, I'm perfectly willing to tell you every single fact about how I killed her. But what you have to understand is that I didn't. Yeah. Elsie, what is the matter with you, darling? I have noticed a strange melancholy in you for some time past. Tell me all about it. She turned quickly round and gazed at me with eyes wide open and face filled with a sudden fear. Why do you ask me that, Mark? She answered. Nice. I have nothing to tell.
Oh, nice. Such a bad liar.
From the strange, startled manner in which this reply was given, I felt convinced that she did have something to tell.
Yeah, Mark.
Oh, God, yeah. Mark. Oh, we're finally learning his name.
Mark.
Mark, that's my dad's name.
I just said.
Wow. And instantly formed a determination to discover what it was.
Great.
A pang shot through my heart as I thought that the woman whom I held dearer than anything on earth hesitated to trust me with a petty secret.
The fact you call it that, sir.
Petty, you know, secret that she's hiding from me.
Yeah. that just consumes her constantly and makes her regret every decision she's ever made at this point. She's a petty secret. Yeah, it's fine.
She moves slowly as though carrying a literal weight.
She probably picked the wrong wedding dress.
Ooh, that's it.
Yeah.
You know? We should renew our vows. She'll get a new dress. We can redo the wedding.
She wanted carnations instead of lilies. Mm-hmm. God, what was I thinking?
Jesus, Mark, of course.
Oh, God.
You know that's important to women. I believed I understood. I was tolerably rich. I knew it could not be any secret over milliners' bills or women's usual money troubles. Nice. God help me. I felt sad enough at the moment, though I kissed her back and ceased to question her. I felt sad.
He kissed her back?
Yeah.
So she was facing him at the time, and he goes to kiss her, and she's like, whoa!
Oh, hey, what's it got more westward?
Why don't we look west again?
Oh, I love looking west.
Let's make this a game for all of us.
It's so fun. I felt sad because my instinct told me that she deceived me. And it is very hard to be deceived, even in trifles.
What is wrong with him?
Do you know what? This like sounds like Data from Star Trek trying to like, it's straight up business. Is this how emotions are supposed, this is how people talk to each other about emotions, right? Is this how it works? I just don't understand.
Anyway,
totally.
And then we're going to have a whole
Gilbert
episode.
And Sullivan. Yeah.
I left her sitting at her favorite window.
What is she, a cat?
And what she is.
She has a sunspot. She just sits in it all day.
She follows the sunspots all around the house. It's really cute.
Yeah. That's her only interest now. And walked out into the field.
She walks out or he does?
He does.
He does. Okay.
I wanted to think.
Oh, I know it's hard for you.
Yeah. It's, how do I do it? I remained out until I saw lights in the parlor shining through the dusky evening. Then I returned slowly. As I passed the windows, which were near the ground, our house being cottage built, I looked in. Hammond Brake was sitting with my wife.
Yeah!
Hammond!
She was sitting in a rocking chair opposite to him, holding a small volume open on her lap. Brake was talking to her very earnestly, and she was listening to him with an expression I had never before seen on her countenance. Oh, maybe she's gay.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So that's why she didn't go with Hammond. They're both gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. The fucking 1800s. Awe, fear, and admiration were all blent together in those dilating eyes. She seemed absorbed, body and soul, in what this man said. I shuddered at the slight. A vague terror seized upon me. I hastened into the house. As I entered the room rather suddenly, my wife started.
Hello, I'm back.
I'm back from my walk.
Did it scare you?
Why? I was just in the fields in the dark. That's all.
You're right. Looking into the window.
My wife started and hastily concealed the little volume that lay on her lap in one of her wide pockets.
Ooh. How to kill your husband.
Oh, no.
Yeah. What you reading, girl?
How to serve humans.
It's
as
the
she
game.
Did so. As she did so, a loose leaf escaped from the volume and slowly fluttered to the floor, unobserved by either her or her companion.
What?
Oh, no.
But I had my eye upon it. Dang. I felt that it was a clue.
Okay, you're...
Yes, Mark.
Oh, yeah. God, Mark.
Mark.
Mark, you're so dumb.
Wow, yes. It's a clue. Wow. Good job, Mark.
Also, it spells clue, C-L-E-W.
Clue.
Clue. I felt it was a clue.
A clue.
What new novel or philosophical wonder have you both been peering under? I asked quite gaily, stealthily watching at the same time the telltale embarrassment under which Elsie was laboring. Brake, who was not in the least discomposed, replied, "That," said he, "is a secret which must be kept from you. And it is an advance copy and is not to be shown to anyone except your wife."
Oh.
Ha! Cried I. "I know what it is. It is your volume of poems that Tricknor is publishing. Well, I can wait until it is regularly for sale."
Good one. Good one, Mark. Good one.
Oh, Mark is simultaneously the worst, and I love him.
I know what
so
that is.
Clueless.
Your poems.
Oh, I can wait. Thank you, good sir.
He's just a puppy, an idiot, like a dumb.
He's a little sweetheart. I knew that Brake had a volume in the hands of the publishing house I mentioned, with a vague promise of publication sometime in the present century.
Okay, Occam's razor, dude.
Just probably like sometime before we die.
Yeah.
Hammond smiled significantly, but did not reply. He evidently wished to cultivate this supposed impression of mine. Elsie looked relieved and heaved a deep sigh. I felt...
Woo, oh, okay. That was okay. Close!
Okay,
he thinks he's tricking them.
He's not as... Yeah, he does.
He's not as sweet as we thought.
No, no, no. Or he is at least not...
He's not this
that
dumb.
That fucking dumb.
Okay.
I felt more than ever convinced that a secret was beneath all this.
Mm.
Oh, shit. So I drew my chair over the fallen leaf that lay unnoticed on the carpet. And talked and laughed with Hammond Bright gaily.
He's like, let me just scoop this chair all the way.
I gotta just stretch and just touch the grass.
Oh, what's that over there? And grab it.
Yay, what? Is that the West? Your favorite.
You love the West.
You love it.
So I drew my... talked and laughed gaily as if nothing was on my mind, while all the time a great load of suspicion lay heavily in my heart.
You know he's laughing way too much.
Yeah, exactly.
At length, Hammond Brake rose to go. I wished him good night, but did not offer to accompany him to the door.
Mm. Huh, sick. Burn.
Yeah. Nice. You got him.
Put him in his place, Mark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's bye. On the ropes. Have fun finding the door.
Because I'm not about to help you. I will not be cuckolded. My wife supplied this omitted courtesy as I had expected. Mm-hmm. The moment I was alone, I picked up the book leaf from the floor.
Yes, read it.
It was not the leaf of a volume of poems.
Oh, Mark.
Mark, Mark, Mark. Oh, God.
Beyond that, however, I learned nothing. It contained a string of paragraphs printed in the biblical fashion, whatever that means. And the language was biblical in style.
Wait, so she's reading the fucking Bible with him?
Apparently.
Secret Bible?
Oh, maybe. No. What if she's converting?
She's converting. Oh, my God. Ooh. Oh, is this story anti-Semitic?
Oh, what direction do Muslims face when they pray?
Oh.
She's just looking towards the West going... Yeah. The one true God is all.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't know
what religion he is.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think that means, you know how like books of the Bible have different numbers before each one?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's what the style of the Bible would mean, right?
Yeah. It's probably like 1 Corinthians or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, right?
I think so. Yeah, okay. Corinthians.
Because people do that as like, don't they say like that's like a loved one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. John 3:16.
I believe.
No, John 3:16. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It seemed to be a portion of some religious book. Was it possible that my wife was being converted to the Romish faith?
Romish?
Yes.
Oh, Catholic.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wait. So is he Protestant?
They're probably Protestant. This is the...
Oh, fuck. She wants to fuck Jesus and Mary.
This is the U.S., like. Yeah.
Is this U.S. Ireland?
But Ireland, they are Catholic.
Yeah.
Well, but there's the Northern Ireland is the Protestant.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know enough to say.
And so there's like the whole like wars between the Protestants and the Catholics.
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
Oh, shit. He is a minister.
Damn. Hammond. And that's why he can't marry anybody.
Oh, my God. Oh. They're fucking through religion.
Oh, whoa. No.
Dang.
He's like driving her with Catholicism.
Yeah. It's my favorite kind of woman.
Yeah.
Love when you read the Bible to me.
Yeah. Yes, that was it. Brake was a Jesuit in disguise. I had heard of such things and had stolen into the bosom of my family to plant there his destructive errors. There could no longer any doubt of it. This was some portion of a Romish book, some infamous Popish publication. Fool that I was not to see it all before. But there was yet time. I would forbid him in the house.
Oh, yeah. See what happens.
He's gonna he's gonna walk in on them fucking and he's like, I knew it. You're doing this for Catholicism.
You're seducing her with sex so that she'll convert.
How dare you?
I had just formed this resolution when my wife entered. I put the strange leaf in my pocket and took my hat. Why, you are not going out, surely, cried Elsie, surprised. I have a headache, I answered.
Nice. You've said that to me many times.
Fly.
I will take a short walk. Elsie looked at me with a peculiar air of distrust. Her woman's instinct told her that there was something wrong.
Damn that woman's instinct.
Before she could question me, however, I had left the room and was walking rapidly on Hammond Brake's track.
Good job, Mark.
He heard the footsteps, and I saw his figure, black against the sky, stop and peer back through the dusk to see who was following him. "It is I, Brake," I called out.
Brake's like, "I know."
"Oh, Mark."
"Stop. I wish to speak with you."
Nice.
He stopped, and in a minute or so, we were walking side by side along the road. My fingers itched at that moment to be at his throat. I commenced the conversation.
Mark. "No.
Brake," Mark, I said. "I'm a very plain sort of man, and I will never say anything without good reason. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a very dumb idiot. What I came after you to tell you is that I don't wish you to come to my house anymore or to speak with Elsie any farther than the ordinary salutations go. It's no joke. I'm quite in earnest."
I mean, fair. Fair. Yeah. Don't fuck my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
Brake started and stopped and stopping short. Brake started and stopping short, faced me suddenly in the road. "What have I done?" he asked. "You surely are too sensible a man to be jealous, Dayton." Mark Dayton, that's his name.
Oh, okay. Shit. Now we're learning some mm-hmm. secrets.
The mystery is revealed. Mm-hmm. End of story. Mm-hmm.
It's Mark the whole time.
"Oh," I answered scornfully, "not jealous in the ordinary sense of the word, a bit. But I..."
jealous. I'm God jealous.
Real God jealous. "But I don't think your company good company for my wife, Brake."
Oh, shit.
"If you will have it out of me, I suspect you of being a Roman Catholic and of trying to convert my wife."
I was picturing him and being like, "What the fuck are you talking about, dude?"
Like, cool, dude.
Or like, "No shit, bro."
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then Mark thinks back to all of the very obvious times when, like, he was giving her a rosary. When he,
like, he's, like, baptizing her. Around her neck.
Yeah, he's wearing a Pope hat around her.
He's giving her Pope trading cards. Yeah, exactly.
A smile shot across his face, and I saw his sharp white teeth gleam for an instant in the dusk.
Vampire.
Yeah, he's a vampire.
Yeah.
He's like, "No, I've been trying to suck your wife's blood, you dum-dum."
That's what's really going on. "Well, what if I am a papist?" he said.
Papist!
So what of it?
With a strange tone of triumph in his voice.
Oh, shit.
"The faith is not criminal. Besides, what proof have you that I was attempting to proselytize?
Yeah.
Proselyte?
Oh,
yeah. Proselyte?
I'm proselyting all up in here. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
"I was trying to proselyte your wife. How can you prove that?" "This," I said, pulling the leaf from my pocket. "This leaf from one of those devilish papist books you and she were reading this evening."
Is he talking about the fucking Bible?
Filth.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so what religion is he? Because, okay,
I
maybe
think
I'm...
it's because it's in Latin, then that means it's... Catholic, as opposed to English.
Because Protestants and Catholics, they both do both Old and New Testament, right?
Yeah.
And then it's just like in the church, it's different.
My guess is it's the language that it's in.
Well, there's also, the Catholic Church also has another book that is like the, explains all the witchcraft. Like how all the other stuff.
The catechism.
Catechism. Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Catechisms.
Yeah. They have
and there's
too.
Like stuff with like
I own
saints
that.
And stuff.
Uh-huh.
I just go around buying religious texts and then I'm like, I'm going to read it and then I'm going to know all about it.
That's,
and then
I went through a phase like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have the Quran.
Me too.
I have,
cool.
The catechism.
Yeah, the catechism, yeah.
You know what I don't have?
What?
The Bible.
Oh, shit.
I keep meaning to.
Yeah.
But they're all, I buy them all used.
Yeah. Get one from a hotel.
Yeah, just grab that.
Steal one from a hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, girl, I'll be bad. It's 2018.
Gotta get that satanic Bible, add that to the collection.
Yes.
Book of the Dead, it'll go next to that.
Oh, Necronomicon.
Yummy.
Okay, so he pulls up the piece of paper.
Oh, shit.
In an instant, Brake had snatched the leaf from my hand and torn it into atoms.
What?
Uh-oh.
Wait, what?
Mark.
He's like, if you read this out loud in front of me, I'll turn into fire.
He was like, what? I have my evidence. And then Hammond just straight up ripped it up.
He just like eats it. Yeah. He's like, I'm trying to get it out of my money.
Yeah, exactly. You had to go through my shit, Mark.
And Mark's like, I will.
I'll do it.
I'll totally do it.
I have literally nothing else going on. Holy shit.
You shall be obeyed, he said. I will not speak with Elsie as long as she is your wife.
Uh-oh. Dot, dot, dot. Honey.
Good night. You think I'm a papist then, Dayton? You're a clever fellow.
Oh, he's being so rude here.
And with rather a sneering chuckle, he marched on along the road.
Oh, no. He's religiously cuckolding him.
Yeah, he is. He's like, you can watch me teach your wife about the Bible.
No, now I think he is, in fact, fucking her.
Mm-hmm. I think he is.
He vanished into darkness.
Because they probably let that piece of paper fall to have him find it.
Or it's just some...
Yeah.
Learning Latin, maybe.
Yeah, maybe
having
that's how
sex,
they...
learning Latin. That's
she's learning Latin, yeah. And then they can communicate for real in Latin because Mark can't read
Mark
it.
Doesn't understand it.
Because Mark can't read.
Mm-hmm. Part two, The Secret Discovered.
Oh.
Part two?
That was
a lot of part one.
I know.
Yeah, part two is just like an epilogue.
Okay. Break came no more. I said nothing to Elsie about his prohibition, and his name was never mentioned. It seemed strange to me that she should not speak of his absence, and I was very much puzzled by her silence. Her moodiness seemed to have increased, and what was most remarkable, in proportion as she grew more and more reserved, the intenser were the outbursts of affection which she exhibited for me. She would strain me to her bosom and kiss me, as if she and I were about to be parted forever. Then, for hours, she would remain sitting at her window, silently gazing, with that terrible wistful gaze of hers, at the West.
Oh, yes, the West.
Mm-hmm. I will confess to having watched my wife at this time. I could not help it.
You watched her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, watch that wife. Cool.
That some mystery hung about her, I felt convinced. I must fathom it or die.
Oh.
Her honor I never for a moment doubted, yet there seemed to weigh continually upon me the prophecy of some awful domestic calamity.
This has been the entire story.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All it is over and over again is her acting very obviously like she doesn't love him and him mm-hmm. going, well, I know that's not it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This time, the prophecy was not in vain. Oh, something might actually happen.
Oh, shit.
Oh, events are taking mm-hmm. place in this story? All right.
Buckle your fucking seatbelt, you pieces of shit.
About 3 weeks after I had forbidden Brake my house, mm-hmm. I was strolling over my farm in the evening, apparently inspecting my agriculture, but in reality, speculating on that topic which laterally was ever present to me.
Is this the fucking Hammond Brake thing?
The way he fucking talks.
Yeah.
And he also apparently can't think and do other things at the same time.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'll pretend to be doing something.
Also pretend
really,
to who? You're just thinking.
Yeah. This is also a guy that uses big words that he doesn't understand to sound smart at all times. And it's like, just say what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what you mean, man. Yeah. There was a little knoll covered with evergreen oaks at the end of the lawn.
That sounds pretty.
Mm-hmm. It was a picturesque spot.
Oh. There were fairies inside, and then suddenly the story turns into something else.
The king of the fairies came down to me, and where did Elsie go? I forgot once about Elsie and began my new life.
On one side, the bank went off into a sheer precipice of about 80 feet in depth, at the bottom of which a pretty pool lay that in the summertime was fringed with white water lilies.
Oh,
I had thought of building a summer house in this spot, and now my steps mechanically directed themselves toward the place. As I approached, I heard voices.
What? Oh, my fucking God. Oh, my fucking God.
Oh, boy.
It's that fairy king.
The fairy king is Hammond.
And listened eagerly.
Oh, fuck.
A few seconds enabled me to ascertain that Hammond Brake and my wife were in the copse talking together. She still followed him then, and he, scoundrel that he was, had broken his promise.
No, he didn't. He's not at your house. No, he's at the water.
Yep. Technicality. Mm-hmm.
A fury seemed to fill my veins as I made this discovery. I felt the impulse strong upon me to rush into the grove, and then and there strangle the villain who was poisoning my peace.
Don't say that. Ugh.
But with a powerful effort, I restrained myself.
Good job, Mark.
Yeah. It was necessary that I should I should overhear what was said.
Overhear it. Sneak.
I threw myself flat on the grass.
What? He's like, huh.
And so glided silently into the copse.
Like a snake.
Yeah. Just this fucking idiot. He thinks he's silent. And they're just like, I can hear somebody coming.
Like, is that Mark literally rolling in the grass towards us?
Until I was completely within earshot. This is what I heard.
Do tell.
My wife was sobbing. So soon, so soon. Hammond, give me a little time. I could not, Elsie. My chief orders me to join him. You must prepare to accompany me.
Oh, my God. Wait, what is happening?
Wait, what is happening?
Brett, wait, I'm scared.
What is
going on?
Is he a fucking alien?
Oh, my God, they're aliens.
Is he an alien? Oh, my God. Wait, what is it? What is it?
No, no, murdered Elsie. He loves me so, and I love him, our child, too. How can I rob him?
Wait, she's Peg?
Mm-hmm.
They had a kid this whole time?
How can I rob him of our unborn babe?
Oh, okay.
She's pregnant.
Oh, my God.
She's pregnant.
Another sheep for our flock.
What the fuck is going on?
Answered
he runs a cult.
Yeah.
Wait,
he runs a sex cult.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Another sheep for our flock, answered Brake solemnly. Elsie, do you forget your oath?
What
is going on?
Are you one of us or are you a common hypocrite who will be of us until the hour of self-sacrifice and then fly like a coward? Elsie, you must leave tonight.
Jonestown.
Ah, my husband, sobbed the unhappy woman. You have no husband, woman, cried Brake harshly. I promised Dayton not to speak to you as long as you were his wife, but the vow was annulled before it was made. Your husband and God yet awaits you. You will yet be blessed with a true spouse.
Whoa. What?
What's going on?
What the fuck is happening?
Damn. I feel as if I were going to die, cried Elsie. How could I ever forsake him, he who is so good to me? This also feels like Mark retelling the story to somebody else.
It's like Mark burst in, kicked Fitzjames out of the way, took the pen and was like, but really, she loved me and they were aliens.
She totally loved me. It's amazing. Nonsense. No weakness. He is not worthy of you.
What?
Go home and prepare for your journey. You know where to meet me. I will have everything ready. And by daybreak, there shall be no trace of us left. Beware of permitting your husband to suspect anything. He is not very shrewd at such things.
No, he's not.
He's not fair.
He thought I was a Jesuit in disguise.
Oh, my God.
What, like he was supposed to guess you were a fucking alien from outer space? Come on.
But we had better be careful. Now go. You have been here too long already. Bless you, sister.
Sister.
Oh.
Joining a convent?
I don't know. A few faint sobs, a rustling of leaves. And I knew that Brake was alone. I rose and stepped silently into the open space in which he stood.
No. Ask Elsie, bro.
Yeah, talk to her.
So don't talk to him.
He's already lied to you.
His back was toward me. His arms were lifted high over his head with an exultant gesture.
What?
And I could see his profile as it turned slightly up, as it turned toward me, illuminated with a smile of scornful triumph.
You're Satanists.
I put my hand suddenly on his throat from behind and flung him on the ground before he could utter a cry.
Fling!
Not a word, I said, unclasping a short bladed knife which I carried. Answer my question.
Thanks for letting us know about that
Mark
now.
Mark is definitely writing
Mark is
this
like lying. He's lying about this.
I just happened to have a knife as I was slithering around the ground. I was a snake, not a ghost. It's fine. Not a word. Answer my questions, or by heaven, I will cut your throat from ear to ear. He looked up into my face with an unflinching eye and set his lips as if resolved to suffer all. What are you? Who are you? What object have you in the seduction of my wife? He smiled, but was silent. Ah, you won't answer. We'll see. I pressed the knife slowly against his throat.
Whoa, dude.
Uh-oh. His face contracted spasmodically. But although a thin red line of blood sprang out along the edge of the blade.
What,
Mark?
Mark.
Brake remained mute. An idea suddenly seized me. This sort of death had no terrors for him. I would try another. There was the precipice. I was twice as powerful as he. So I seized him in my arms and in a moment transported him to the margin of the steep, smooth cliff, the edge of which was garnished with the tough stems of the wild vine.
Wait, what? He's like, he's afraid of me to cut his throat, so I'm just going to throw him down a cliff?
Well, he's trying to find the death that scares him.
Yeah, this is Mark trying to
he's
do
like,
this.
Then I'm going to try drowning. He's like, then I'm going to try pushing on the ground.
What if maybe the idea of throwing him off a cliff will be scarier than a knife at his throat? I kind of don't believe that, but all right.
Death is sort of death.
Yeah. Mark.
Yeah. He seemed to feel it was useless to struggle with me, so allowed me passively to roll him over the edge.
What?
When he was suspended in the air, I gave him a vine stem to cling to and let him go. He swung at a height of 80 feet with face upturned and pale. He dared not look down. Okay, so he pushed him over the edge and I was like, hold on to this vine.
Yep.
Maybe I'll cut the vine.
Oh, with my knife that you didn't fear at your neck, perhaps you'll fear it at mine.
I seated myself on the edge of the cliff and with my knife began to cut into the thick vine a foot or two above the place of his grasp.
All right.
I was correct in my calculation.
Oh, good one,
This Mark. Terror was too much for him. Nice. As he saw the notch in the vine getting deeper and deeper, his determination gave way. I'll answer you, he gasped out, gazing at me with starting eyebrows.
Worse than getting your throat slit?
I don't know.
What? This is so embarrassing.
Maybe it's not fast enough.
I'm going to eat fear of heights.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll answer you. What do you ask? What are you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Was my question as I ceased cutting at the stem. A Mormon.
What?
What?
Oh, damn.
It's the one religion we didn't guess. What?
Take me up. My hands are slipping. Quick. And you wanted my wife to follow you to that infernal Salt Lake City?
Oh my God.
For God's sake, release me. I'll quit the place. Never come back. Do help me update and I'm falling. I felt mightily inclined to let the villain drop, but it did not suit my purpose to be hung for murder. So I swung him back up again on the sword where he fell panting and exhausted.
Okay.
Will you quit the place tonight? I said, you'd better. By heaven, if you don't, I'll tell all the men in the village and we'll lynch you as sure as your name is Brake. I'll go. I'll go, he groaned.
Mormon too.
Yeah. I swear never to trouble you again. You ought to be hanged, you villain. Be off. He slunk away through the trees like a beaten dog, and I went home in a state bordering on despair. I found Elsie crying. She was sitting by the window as of old. I knew now why she gazed so constantly at the west. It was her Mecca.
That's where Utah was.
Oh, shit. Fucking Salt Lake City to the west.
Salt Lake City.
She's been gazing out a window thinking about Utah.
It was her Mecca. Something in my face, I suppose, told her that I was laboring under great excitement. She rose, startled as soon as I entered the room. Elsie, I said, I am come to take you home. Home? Why, I am home. Am I not? What do you mean?
What? Where am I? Who are you?
No, this is no longer your home. You have deceived me. You are a Mormon. I know all. You have become a convert to that apostle of hell, Brigham Young, and you cannot live with me. I love you still, Elsie, dearly, but you must go and live with your father. The end.
What? The end? That's the end?
Yep, that's the end.
Dude, just be a Mormon. Like, they're all the same.
Yeah, just go be a Mormon with her.
Religion is religion.
Or like, you know, maybe be like, hey, why don't we talk to each other?
Yeah.
Figure out what what draws you to this? Maybe we can like talk to each other. Maybe I like that too.
Do you like the idea of dying and getting your own planet? That sounds great to me.
I want to hear about these plates.
Want magic underwear? That sounds good. Yeah, that sounds great.
That's okay.
Also, the weird like boogeymanness of it's like I'm a Mormon.
Yeah.
I'm a Mormon.
Well, it's almost daybreak. Notes.
Oh God, I've gotta go. The only thing worse than Catholics are Mormons.
Apparently.
That's like he was like, I thought that he was Catholic. Little did I know.
Wait until this guy hears about Scientology.
I know. Just wait.
Oh God. He was a Mormon this whole time.
That was really embarrassing.
That was an amazing twist, Brett.
That was an amazing twist.
Yeah.
That was better than Sixth Sense.
I was not expecting Mormon drop at the end.
Every religion.
Yeah.
Except for Mormon. And then we went to aliens.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
But that's because we know that he wrote sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I really, truly thought they were aliens.
I thought so too, because he was like, you have to come with me to the like other place.
We gotta go tonight. Do
they call them chiefs? That was confusing to me.
Elders. They're called elders.
I know
a little bit about the Mormon Church.
Oh, you know what? There is no Google and he had no idea.
Right,
what
he had no idea. Well, and that's another thing, right? Because so this story was written in 1858.
Oh, this is probably around the time when Mormonism was starting to really kick off.
Because Joseph Smith was 1805 to 1844.
Oh.
So I think it was like died. People were like, oh, now let's get on board. Because like, you know, whenever the leader dies, it's like even more.
Well, he was also hanged for having multiple wives of like young women and stuff. Yeah. Joseph Smith. So it's like
martyred.
It is. Yeah.
Maybe Elsie was going to have to be one of Hammond's wives.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, but you guys, she did love him.
Yeah. I did not like that she loved him.
Yeah, well, that's a bummer now.
She was Mormon.
That's true.
She was Mormon.
I'm confused now because now, so he ends up still kicking her out of the house.
Yeah. Yeah. He makes her go live with her parents.
Yeah.
Go to Utah.
Yeah. Get a
Mormon
Utah.
Freak.
Have fun in those mountains. Yeah. Clean air. Have fun.
The same. It's just different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know.
Also, what religion is he? We don't know.
Well, Protestant, probably.
Probably
because he was so anxious about the
Catholic thing.
Because not sure where this takes place.
Yeah.
So it's either Protestant or Presbyterian or whatever other non-Catholic ones were in the U.S.
We know he was not Quaker because Quakers are like, whatever you want.
Yeah, they're chill as hell.
Quakers are dope.
I like a Quaker.
Love Quakers.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow, what a story.
Loved that.
That story was amazing. Brett, that might be one of your best stories you picked. It was dope.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Good work,
crazy.
Brett.
Big dumb Mark.
Good. Oh, except for, we really loved Edith. Edith's fairy tale.
Oh, Edith's fairy tale was also really good. Really good. Edith Nesbitt.
Yep.
I could see this guy wanting to become a Mormon too. Then,
I could see that too.
Yeah. Because then I could have a lot of women that I just like kind of vaguely creep out for a long time until they all be. That could just do that to multiple people.
The use of the phrase vague terror. Like, amazing.
Constant looking to the west.
That is so embarrassing.
So good.
It's totally true. Like, they did not have Google, so he had no fucking idea. He was just like, they have like a chief and like,
I don't know. I know more about the Muslim faith, so it's like that.
You get there's like directions.
In a direction.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and doing the show.
Absolutely.
And reading that story with us. That was crazy.
This was awesome. Thanks, guys.
You were awesome.
Islamic. That's the word I kept not being able
Islam.
To think.
Yeah.
Oh, because you kept saying Muslim.
I was like.
The faith of Islam.
I'm just going to keep. Putting it in that direction.
Yeah. We'll find it eventually.
Yeah, I found it. We I found the Quran, but I could not remember
Islam. No, well, it's because you haven't read it. Once you read it, you will remember the phrase Islamic.
Yep. I should read it.
Don't let Mark get a hold of that book. That'll really blow his mind.
Mark.
He's going to kick me right out of the house.
Mark. Oh, God. The Tao of Pooh. He would like.
Oh, I have that too.
Yeah, he would be like, what the fuck is this
what
shit?
What is this?
Disgusting. You're disgusting. Thank you so much for coming out and doing the show. Do you have anything you would like to plug?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Brandazzle. I'm pretty funny on all this stuff.
I have yet to see proof.
Okay.
Just keep proving yourself.
Well, to be fair, I have just been like retweeting things that I agree with lately. I think that's just what Twitter's turned into. It's that or walk into the ocean. So. Yeah. But you can find me on both of those at Brandazzle. And then Lady to Lady is my podcast. It's me and two other female comics. And then we have a fourth guest on every week who is usually another female comic. And we just kind of riff and have a good time. Mm-hmm. And we have we play like sleepover games. We answer advice in the podcast that people write in. And that's a real, real silly good time. And I tour all over the place. So follow me on Bands in Town or Spotify. And then you'll get all my tour dates and stuff in those two places.
Awesome. Great.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for doing the show. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you would like to help us, leave us a lovely review on the
Apple podcast.
Apple podcast.
Honestly, we don't know how reviews work on other apps, but if that helps, do that too.
Sure. But Apple podcast is the big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the man.
Yeah.
We gotta play that game.
If you can
click the player, hit the game.
If you can click 5 stars, click 5 stars.
Yeah,
every
time. Write a review because for some reason writing a review is like the thing.
Yeah,
fucking review.
So write a fucking review. We read a whole thing. You can write a review.
We just write a whole thing.
So many words.
So many words.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week and keep it lit.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.